Are you tuned in? Because I am. It's the Nancy Ruffin Show.
You are tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show, a digital global classroom where individuals across all ages, backgrounds, and career levels tune in for guidance and motivation to live life on their own terms. Hosted by award-winning author, transformation coach, and the self-proclaimed Latina Oprah, The Nancy Ruffin Show is where inspiring thought leaders, modern-day influencers, and social game changers come to discuss their own personal journeys and have real conversations about the journey to success. It's where the next generation of leaders come to tap into their potential, ignite their fire, and expand their self-awareness. So if you're ready to power up and blaze trails of positive change, then you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Welcome back, guys. Joining me this week is none other than beauty journalist Ashley Jimenez. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, Nancy.
How are you?
I am so, so good because I'm talking to you.
Oh, so am I. You know, Ashley and I were supposed to connect, I don't know, probably a year or two ago, and life happens and, you know, things kind of just pop up and we weren't able to, but I'm so happy that you are here and we're going to talk about all things beauty. We're going to talk a little bit about your own journey. You've had some really, you know, incredible roles in, you know, your career path. I know that you used to work for Latina. You were the senior beauty editor there. Now you're at Ola. So I want to talk all about that. But first things first, how have you been holding up during this entire COVID-19 pandemic? How have you been doing?
Oh my gosh. Well, first, I just want to start off by saying thank you for having me again. And to be quite honest, I've been holding up as best as possible. I'm fortunate enough where I'm able to work from home. And, you know, I start my day off with, honestly, with positivity and faith. And that has been key. And then I transition it into beauty. So what I do is I wake up every morning and I have this gratitude list that I do. And I also write a little prayer. And I usually pray for everyone who has lost someone, who has passed. And then, you know, I remind myself of what I get to do. And I get to bring joy through beauty to our communities. And I'm able to channel that. But you know, I'm connecting virtually. It's all about virtual and we're connecting. What we're doing now, it's a connection. So I've been doing a lot of these Zoom party virtual happy hours. I even had a birthday when COVID started, so I was able to have my first Zoom birthday party. Very different.
Belated birthday. Are you an Aries?
I am an Aries, team Aries all day, every day. What are you?
I'm a Taurus, actually. My birthday is coming up on the May 19th, so.
Oh, my gosh. This is epic because an Aries and Taurus
together. I'm in the process of planning my own Zoom party soon, so we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah, if you need some tips, let me know. You know, the first, if you want a big and a large group of people, you pay that $5 to $10, and you can party all night long, and all you need is one person to play the music, and everyone else is on mute, and you can have a great time. And it's all about that, you know, connecting. Now more than ever, my family's big. I'm Latina, I'm Puerto Rican and Dominican. So families and birthdays and connecting and dealing, you know, with COVID and not being able to see them has been hard. So
how is your family getting through that? Because I think that for me, that has been just like the most challenging thing like to deal with. Like I can deal with the staying home and right. I can be home with my kids and they're driving me crazy and homeschool and work, like all of that. But I really
props to you for being a mom, working from home, probably cooking and cleaning and doing everything like an octopus, but still looking fabulous because I follow you on social and you always still look great.
Yeah, well, if you've been following me lately, you will have noticed. I mean, before, like I was always on my Insta stories, like just sharing my face. Now, not so much because I don't have the energy after a long day to put on a makeup, to look presentable. Like there's days where I might just show up looking how I look, all cray cray. But those are few and far between, you know, now.
Yeah. And that's okay, right? Because it's ebbs and flows. And I feel that for me, I have those days too where I'm like, oh my gosh, this headband is just going to be it today. Or I may just rock in my pajamas or my cute leggings because it's just that type of day. But I can't lie to you, on days where I do put on makeup, I kid you not, I feel better. There is magic in makeup. Yes. And all it takes is a little something. And it's not every day. Listen, we're living in a different time and we have to be honest with ourselves. And if doing these little intricate things, you know, make us feel better, then do it. And you can make it a 360 experience, you know. If you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed with COVID and you miss your friends, you know, start a Zoom, you know. Be like, hey, chicas, let's meet on Friday at 6. I need my girls. This is a Zoom link. Here you go. You put on a lip and you talk, you know. You guys have to talk about things. At least for me, keeping it on me, I've been able to be vulnerable virtually with what's happening in my world, in the beauty world, with other women like never before. And I'm like, wow, this is.
I agree. I mean, for me, like, I have a group chat with my girlfriends and it is like, it's constantly going off. I mean, there are times where I have to kind of put my do not disturb on because like it's all day and like I have to work. I can't just sit here all day texting back and forth, ladies. But it's funny because it'll go like the conversations shift so much. It'll start off, you know, everyone is happy and positive in the morning, right? And then throughout the day, for those of us, you know, who have kids and have to like homeschool, like then it starts to shift and then you hear the frustration. One of my girlfriends is constantly just complaining, you know, about the virtual schooling and how she has to spend so much time. Like she's a freaking VP at Bank of America. So she's being VP-ish and then also being a teacher, you know, for her son.
Yeah, she's wearing many hats. I mean, and as are you too.
It's crazy. And then it'll shift to like the president and the nonsense that he's talking about. So, you know, it'll get a little funny. We'll share memes. And then by the end of the day, like we're cursing our husbands out. We're frustrated. They're not helping or we're cooking too much. It's so much. But to your point, it really has provided us this mechanism to kind of get our feelings out. Like all of it, like the joyful moments, the frustration, and then allowing us to be like the support system for each other. So I totally get what you're saying about making sure that you know, even if it's through the Zoom, you connect with your girls because we need, I think now more than ever, just that support system.
No, yeah. And even, you know, if it isn't your girls, you know, maybe that tia that makes you laugh all the time. I've been obsessed with watching TikToks and of people, you know, doing different TikToks with their families and just having fun. And it, you know, it makes me, I miss my family, you know, and right now I'm living with my mother and my brother, as well as my stepfather. And like, that's a blessing because not everyone has someone or not everyone has a family. So you connecting and through a way that is just like so 2020, we have to see the positive in this. And I'm not even gonna lie, the magic of makeup, you know what I talk about in my chats with my girlfriends? I'm like, okay, these press-on nails are on sale. Get them while you can because I've never worn press-ons. I'm wearing acrylics all the time and now I'm obsessed. And then I'm like, wait a minute, it's 1 o'clock. I haven't eaten, I have a headache, what is happening? And then I look at what's happening, you know, over there in Capitol Hill. And I'm like, oh no, don't look over there. Then I have FOMO here. And then I'm like, wait, deadline right here. And you know, it is an ebb and flow and you have to like take that moment to decompress. And I even now have implemented stress roller balls, like a part of my daily routine, because I need to take those moments of clarity and grace to kind of remind myself and bring myself back, you know, I am okay. I am healthy.
You know, that's so important. I mean, not just, you know,
and I have this community, you know, and we get to be in this together and it's just a different time. And I'm so, so glad that we're able to connect because I feel like we're forming a bigger sense of like Latina sisterhood, which makes my heart really full.
I agree. So let me ask you, though, I mean, considering this, the state that we're living in and the fact that, you know, that you are home and that you are blessed to be around your family, what has this time at home taught you, like, either about yourself, about the world, I mean, about how we do business? Because I think that even now, there's so many industries, even the beauty industry, that has had to shift in the way that they do business and how they market their services and products, you know, to consumers. What has this time kind of taught you at all about any of these things?
I mean, to be quite honest, the beauty industry itself has pivoted completely. And my heart really goes out to all the makeup artists, all the folks working in the retail industries, you know, everyone who is out of work in the beauty industry, my heart goes out to you, because this beauty is so much more than the physical. It's, like I said, like connection, it's a boost morale half the time, you know. I don't know if you've ever been to Sephora, if you got your makeup done professionally, it turns into somewhat of a therapy session because you're face to face with someone. And I've literally seen creativity on other levels that I've never seen before. And it's pretty inspiring, you know. People, from an editor standpoint, people are now doing virtual desk sides, so we're having one-on-one Zoom interviews or conversations with different brands. We're also, you know, donating as best as we can and showcasing the different experts, you know, through different programs, as well as all of our content, at least the content that I'm writing, is DIY, doing it yourself. And what I've learned about myself throughout this whole experience is to always, always just keep moving and pushing forward, because life is going to happen. And the pandemic, it's not, how do I say, it's not in my control. It's not in our control. So I am learning to own up and be honest about the things that I'm in control of. So I'm like, okay, I'm in control of producing this inspiring content. So how do I inspire women to feel beautiful at home if maybe they're not making much money because maybe they've lost their jobs, or maybe they're moms and they're trying to homeschool and they're just like, whatever, I'm over it, you know? So how do I inspire other women through beauty content? And how do I do that? I make it realistic, you know? I make sure that I tell other women who have struggled, whether that's beauty, you know, with acne or with hyperpigmentation, I make sure I push out that storytelling. I'm super mindful because right now women don't really want, you know, the celebrity conversation, beauty tips and all that stuff. They really want a personal element and they want to be held, you know? So I feel right now it's shifted. Like, we all just want to be held, you know, and yeah, know that we're so loved and we're okay. And I'm making sure that I'm taking care of myself, which, you know, as a woman, and sometimes as a Latina woman, we're caretakers, even whether we have children or not.
Right.
And we put our, you know, things in front of ourselves. So just making sure that I show up every day by taking care of myself. So what does that look like? Getting up and listening to something positive that's anywhere from a meditation to actually, you know, throwing on, I'm a spiritual person, so I will listen to anyone from Joel Osteen to Hillsong, anything that lifts my spirit, you know, because I think it's important for you to feed yourself something fruitful before you actually eat the fruit, if that makes sense.
Oh, it absolutely does. And, you know, what we feed ourselves, and that's like in anything, whatever, like, what we're reading, what we're watching on TV, the music we're listening to,
music.
Yeah, what we allow ourselves to consume can either uplift us or bring us down. And there's like it's just a fact, you know, because there are moments when I may not be feeling so great, but I'll throw on a worship song and like 2 minutes in, my mood will completely shift. And then it's like, that reminds me of, okay, you know, there's challenges, but all of those things are fleeting and I can choose how I want to feel. And I don't have to, you know, sit and feel like down on myself or allow the challenges or the things that are happening in this world to affect how I feel. I don't know if that makes sense,
But, it makes so much sense, love. It makes so much sense. And, you know, just to piggyback off of that, and on days where you're really depleted, because on some, and especially as a mom, you know, you can speak to that more than anyone, you know, you'd reach out. You reach out and you connect and you ask for the help, because there's always someone out there that's either going through it or been through it. And it's like, chica, this happened last week. This is how you should handle it. Or like, I'm here for you. Let me hold you, you know, virtually or whatever. Because I'm telling you, something about that face-to-face connection, FaceTime, that's where we're at today. Yeah. That really, we all just want to be seen and heard.
Yeah.
And once those things happen, it's literally a shift, like a pivotal shift. So I totally understand when you listen to worship music, that you know, your energy is shifted and you feel better, because it does work.
So I want to pivot a little bit, because I really want to talk about the work that, you know, that you do at Ola. You're the beauty director there. And like I mentioned in the intro, you were also the senior beauty editor at Latina, you know. And so how did you break into this industry? Was beauty something that you like always loved? Because I mean, I know as children, especially coming from Latina households, like, you know, we love beauty, you know. So was this just something that was in you, or something that you decided to do after?
You know, it's so funny, because I actually started off when I was in college, and they were like, okay, who do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, I want to be Oprah. So a really quick insert, if you guys don't know, Nancy is the Latina Oprah. So all full circle.
But you know, I'm shifting from Oprah. I'm trying to, you know, shift out of that and embrace more fully whoever God wants me to be. You know, Oprah was the inspiration.
Oh, I love that. But, you know, I fell in love with that tag too. But I love that, because you are who you are and you're amazing.
Yeah, no, and I say all that to say that it's okay to, and kind of like you wanted to be like Oprah. Like, it's okay to have the vision, the model, or like the
I didn't see anybody else other than Christina, to be honest.
Right. But you know, so even now, like, I'm in a point in my life where, like, okay, yeah, Oprah is great and she's done so much, and you know, I want the impact and my contribution to to be Oprah like, but I don't want to be Oprah, right? I want to be Nancy.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was in college and they were like, okay, I was like, I want to be the Latina Oprah, and I really held on to that. And so I really thought that I wanted to do very broadcast driven hard news. I did a few internships at NBC Today Show, then I did an internships at MTV, which were great, and the hard news was just too sad, to be honest, for me. Right. It was too sad, and I would find myself just not as engaged with the work. So I'm a big person where it's like, once the work ethic begins to start to deplete just a tiny bit, you have to shift and be honest. So then I was like, you know what, I really love fashion and I really love beauty, but I didn't know where on TV. I still wanted to do the TV thing, but I didn't know where. So I actually found a copy of Cosmo for Latinas, and I was looking through it and I was like, oh my gosh, let me look at the masthead, because I was like, anyone will probably answer me. Just wishful thinking and positive thinking and trusting in myself, to be quite honest. And I boldly emailed someone on the masthead and I said, hi, my name is Ashley Jimenez. I'm a student at New York Institute of Technology. I'm looking to, you know, get an internship for my senior semester for fashion or beauty. And I would love to, you know, work at the magazine of any sort, because it's Cosmo and it's for Latinas. And I was like, oh my God, this is iconic. What is happening? I got the interview, I got the internship, and it was pretty much set in stone from
this was just off of you being bold, taking a chance on yourself, and just sending the email and just leaving it in God's hands, basically.
Yeah, leaving it in God's hands. And during that time, just to be fair, they did have emails on the masthead, where now I do believe that there's not much information, but we also have Instagram and Twitter and social media. So if there's someone that you're really, really passionate about, or you love their career and you really want to work with them, just be bold or ask for an interview. Just, or say, hey, I'm working on a school project and I want to highlight you. I want to feature you and I want to interview you. And people love to talk about themselves, and it happened so organically. And that's literally how I got the internship. And I had about, in between college, after Cosmo for Latinas, I had 3 magazine internships after that, at Harper's Bazaar, and then regular Cosmo, and then Town and Country, which was fun. But the Town and Country one was only for about 3 weeks because I was actually inserting for someone else. And then I quickly realized, I want to do this. I want to do beauty. But I didn't necessarily know what a beauty editor was and what her job entailed. So I started to research, and I learned a lot. And this was when YouTube was beginning to start off. And I was not more into the YouTube side. I was more focused on following people like Robin Moreno, Millie Aldemar, and I remember seeing them on like the Wendy Show and all that. And I was like, I can do this. I want to do this. So I pitched my first story at Cosmo for Latinas, and it was actually to Millie, who was the late beauty director, and she loved it. And I actually got to photograph in the Cosmo for Latinas print. I was photographed and I wrote my story. And then after that, I actually pivoted and I couldn't find a job in edit. So I went to Apple and I worked at Apple on the sales floor for about maybe 6 to 8 months. And then I quickly learned that I'm like, I'm a creative. I need something more. I came from edit and then I went to tech and I was just like, I'm not really fulfilled in a sense just yet. So I was there for about 3 years. And in between, I did a lot of different creative events and coordinating, which was so fun. I got to launch the Apple Watch, met the Kardashians when they launched their app. It was a lot of fun. And then I got a call from someone who was working at Latina Magazine and was leaving. And she said, hey, girl, I've been following you for a while. And, you know, let me backtrack. This same person that gave me the call, that called me, was my old friend who I had interned with at Cosmo for Latinas. But since I hadn't been in the edit game for a while, she wasn't too sure, you know, where I was. And she saw how I was doing an app, and she's like, oh, that sounds really cool too. So I don't know if you'd be interested in this, but hey, I'm leaving this position at Latina. If you like to interview, I brought your name up. So I was like, okay, great. Why not? I was like, this is my moment. I literally remember praying for it, because I remember I was feeling super, super sad. And, you know, I am a person who suffers from mental health. So when I get sad, it's depression. It's very, it's very serious. And I say that because it is real. And I do come out of it. But I remember feeling that way, and I remember praying, and I was like, you know what? I want this so bad. I want to be an editor. I didn't even say beauty. I just left it up to God. And, you know, I said, I want to be an editor. And then I got that call and I went on the interview. And it was pretty much set in stone from there. I was so, so happy to be able to tell stories at Latina Magazine. I started off as the fashion and beauty assistant. I covered this. We had this series called Latina Glam Getters, which I highlighted a lot of the different entrepreneurs and CEOs. And then I loved it so much that when the magazine closed at Latina, I actually brought that franchise to Hola, where I still carry that same message, and I still empower different Latinas and CEOs. And I also launched the Hola USA Investigates, where we review different, you know, spa treatments, hair salons, and products. Right now we're sticking to the products. But yeah, I've had a lot of experience in the beauty industry. I've interviewed Rita Moreno, which honestly was the best interview of my life.
Oh my God, that's, she's on my bucket list. Like, I need to like meet her, oh, interview her, like do Google something like before, you know, she leaves
this. I hear you. We're not putting it out there, but I understand. I understand.
She's Latinas, you know, she's an icon to us. She's a living legend, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. I've been able to interview Rita Moreno, Camila Cabello, Jessica Alba, and just very impactful Latinas that growing up, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. But I will say that one of the most fulfilling things is really champion behind the Latina-owned businesses. I get so happy when I send that email to them saying, hey, the article is live, here you go, let me know if you want me to promote it. And they are like, the messages that I get back, oh my God, thank you so much for writing.
Well, who are some of your favorite Latina-owned businesses as it relates to beauty, hair, like, name some. Let's
spotlight. Oh my God, yes. So I am obsessed with Alemar Cosmetics. Are you familiar with the brand?
I am not. So spell, ooh, that for me so that I can do my own.
Yes, so it's Alemar Cosmetics. And they have this blush trio set. It comes in two or three different shades. And it's so cool because this is owned by a Cubana and she's a makeup artist. Her name is Gabrielle Trujillo. And when I tell you, whenever you want to go away to the tropics, which is every single day now, her eyeshadow palettes and this blush trio will literally bring you there. The pigment.
Okay, well, that's going to be on my list of items.
Yeah, it's super affordable. And I'm telling you, the thing is that it's all about how you feel when you put it on. Something that I tell myself is I'm creating change whenever I put on different, you know, Latino-owned beauty products, because it literally is. I'm manifesting even for them the success of the business. Another one that I'm super always championing behind is Reina Rebelde. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have heard of Reina Rebelde. Yes.
Yes, I always throw on her red lipstick, which is Brava. That's usually, I have it on right now, actually. Whenever I have an interview or anything that I need to have, like, my hip-hop pants on, I throw that on. Another one, if you're a curly hair girl or just want to defrizz, is that It's a Miracle line. I'm obsessed with the defrizzing curl cream. Even for your kids, too, if you want to give them, like, a cute little wash and go, like, nice shiny look and hydrated curls, this will definitely give them that look. And those are pretty much it, you know. It's very minimal today because it's very different.
And so I'm gonna plug one of my friends who recently launched a hair product line, and maybe you can do some research and review it, and then we can. But my girl, Ada Rojas, she...
Oh my God, yes, Ada!
And it's been doing really well. Like, she just celebrated, like, the 1-year anniversary. She got the products that they're currently, like, in Target, in some Walmart stores.
I'm so familiar with Ada. I love her. I'm a huge fan of her, too. Her Botanica line is amazing. I haven't been able to use it myself. I was actually going to start using it, and then quarantine happened, and all of those products are in the
Okay, so that's your homework, Ashley.
Yes, it's my homework. And that's another thing. A lot more women, too, have been embracing their natural texture, you know.
Yes, I wanted to actually talk to you about that. This is a perfect segue into that, because I think that traditionally, the beauty industry has not been very representative, you know, of Latinas, of women of color. And I think that we're seeing a huge shift in that. You know, when we're looking at even like Rihanna, she launched her Fenty Beauty line. I mean, she did amazing.
She changed the game with that line. I'm not going to lie. She scared the pants off of several beauty brands when she did that.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, we buy makeup products. You know,
Latinas, we love beauty. We're spending money. We're telling each other, you know, just right now, you're like, hey, by the way, have you tried Ada's products? You know, like, we're talking to one another, we're connecting, and we know beauty. It's like you said, it's a part of who we are. We grew up, you know, putting on our lipsticks, learning from our mom, you know, DIY, different beauty treatments. My favorite thing is, you know, my grandma's avocado and honey mask, because my split ends really need them right now.
Right. I mean, why do you, in your professional opinion, why do you think that, like, the mainstream, you know, beauty companies fell short or kind of lagged behind in marketing to, you know, to our people? Because I think that, like you said, Rihanna kind of woke everybody up. And I mean, she is really doing phenomenal work when it comes to beauty, you know, for women of color. And now, though, you see the kind of like the other mainstream, you know, beauty companies, like, trying to catch up, basically.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is. I will say that, you know, since Rihanna, you have seen some progress, but the work is still not done yet. And I will be honest, growing up, I didn't see myself in a lot, and even now I'm like, oh, okay, now we're getting representation, now we're starting to see the light of day, you know. And I'm not gonna lie, sometimes it is hard to sit in this world of beauty where I'm like, okay, I am here to represent, you know, Latina beauty, but also the inclusivity of what Latina beauty looks like, you know. So even though I'm the beauty director, I'm always asking other Latina women what they love and what their expertise is to create that representation. You know, another woman who is amazing and is a connection to what you were speaking on before is Danielle Alvarez with the Bonita Project. She literally, on that same concept, she's like, hey guys, we're here, we're spending money in beauty, we know we're trendsetters, we're bold, we're vibrant, we're gonna try any new product you put on the market if it's great, so why aren't you guys marketing to us and speaking to us? And, you know, she took her experience from PR and, you know, years working with different clients, and she created her own business, you know, for the culture, you know, specifically to showcase the need. And I think that having brands and boutique PR people like her, or just PR in general, understand that concept. But it starts from the top. That's where it honestly does. It starts from the top. And if we're not aware of who it is that is sitting in those boardrooms and are making those decisions that are for us, and they're not necessarily understanding who we are, then that's where we, you know, the shift needs to happen.
Right.
But that also comes with researching and education. You know, are people really looking at, you know, who are the CEOs on this particular brand, or who are the, you know, investors on this particular product? And people are, women are, women want to know, they want to support other Latino owned business, other women of color, because now more than ever, we're like, hey, we know where our money is going.
Yeah.
And now we want the payback, you know? So I think it's important. And it's important that we hold on to that mindset in a very fruitful way, because as long as we continue to support, you know, local businesses like, you know, Ada, or, you know, Reina, or even Alemar, you know, that is proving to them, you know, I say them meaning like corporate America, yeah, and all the folks that are still like, well, how do we market to Latinas again? It's proving to them the success of this business and us.
It's so important that that we, you know, we share the stuff that we're using the same way we would share a Maybelline, you know, nothing wrong with Maybelline, you know, but I'm, you know, the same way that we would, you know, talk about it or repost, or, you know, we have to make sure that we're not only purchasing and supporting the Latina owned companies or the companies, you know, owned by women of color, but right, that we're also talking about it and we're telling people about it, because that is where I think, like, the bigger value comes in, because the more people know about it, then the more sales are going to start happening as a result of that. Because if I'm just buying it, but I'm not sharing it with anyone, then who's going to know?
Absolutely. And now more than ever, you know, virtual. It's not like we're going into the stores to buy them.
Right.
You know, we have to share and we have to showcase what it is that we're using, because it's important, you know, and if you can't buy, you share. You know, right. If you can do both, amazing. And that's what I tell people, because right now during the pandemic, you know, everyone's like, I want to support a local business, but I'm struggling myself. And, you know, I get it. You know, we all have different situations happening. So I actually wrote an article where, you know, I was like, you can actually, you know, write a review, promote your stylist, because maybe, you know, in some world, someone else is like, oh my gosh, is this person doing deliveries for tinte, you know, hair color, right. And you share them, okay, now they have a new customer because of you, you know. Or if you're showcasing a new lipstick that was made from maybe Vive Cosmetics, that's another brand that I like, they're like, oh my gosh, this is gorgeous, and it's called Colores, I want to try this, you know. So it's all about your intent. So I say, if you can't buy, then you share. And if you can do both, then that's even iconic.
So let me ask you this. I have just one, maybe two more things I want to talk about. And then I don't want to keep you. I've already kept you longer than I promised.
No worries. You're so fun to talk to.
So what would you like to see in the beauty industry 10 years from now, given all of the progress we've already seen? But you said, you know, that there's still so much more work to do. What would you like to see 10 years from now?
I would definitely like to see, you know, a lot more women of color in those CEO positions, in those marketing positions, in those boardroom positions, because that is a trickle-down effect to every single, pretty much down to the products you see in a store.
Yes.
So, you know, and the thing is, we really need to be honest about the beauty industry. I think that from 10 years from now, everyone should have a clean, non-toxic, free beauty experience. And it shouldn't have to be deemed as a privilege, because whatever it is that you're putting on your body, if it's potentially toxic or it's not deemed quote unquote clean or sustainable, I think we should all get on the bandwagon, because even the big brands, I always say, if you have a lot of money, and big enough money to create all these different factories, then you have enough money to invest in the quality and also the safety of your consumers, because that's super important. And, you know, women of color, particularly, you know, when it comes to certain health risks, we're pretty much on the high risk factor. So 10 years from now, clean, honest, you know, sustainable products that work and that are accessible for all, and more women of color beauty businesses, of course. You know, I would love to see these brands become household names, you know, like we talk about like the L'Oreal's and the Maybellines, but I would love to see a household name for like Ada, a household name for, you know, Reina. Like, these women all deserve the beautiful success that they've been doing, because they've been doing this work for so long. And it really counts to have the people in the boardroom to champion behind them, you know, to be like, oh, hey, did you hear about my friend, by the way? Because we have so many things and there's so many stimulants that we need a sense of security, a sense of community within the, how do I say, corporate executive world. That way we can be honest with them and say, hey, you're getting it wrong. And then for them to be honest and say, hey, you want to come and help? And a lot of the times they're probably gonna be like, I don't understand what I'm getting wrong, you know? So open-mindedness too. I want to see a lot more open-mindedness within the beauty industry that the pandemic has actually birthed too, you know?
So one last thing.
Absolutely.
How does Ashley define beauty?
Okay. I define beauty from within the soul. I honestly define beauty being something that is beyond the physical form and more of the soulful spirit, to be honest. I feel like when someone is you, whether you call them beautiful or you see beauty in a flower within them, you're like, wow, that's a good spirit, you know?
Yeah. Yes. From the inside out. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for being on. This was probably one of my favorite interviews ever.
No, wait, stop it. This is my first podcast ever. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. Good. I'm happy to have been your first.
Yes. And, you know, if your listeners want to check out more of the beauty content or the
I was going to say, where can they connect with you? How can they find you? Like all that good stuff.
Yes. So they can find all of Hola USA's like beauty content and everything on Hola. Wait a second. Hold on. My eyes hurt. I got like a little boop. So they can find all the content at us.hola.com. And for me, I'm at Ashes to Good Vibes on Instagram.
Wonderful. So there you have it. She gave you the website. She gave you her Instagram. Don't go and hassle her now either, but you know, be bold like she was. If there's something that you want to do and a position that you want, sometimes you just have to go for it. So Ashley, thank you so much. And mi gente, until next time, go out there and crush those goals.
Thank you for listening to the Nancy Ruffin Show.